Isn't that good stuff? I'll tell you. That'll get your motor going right there. That's what it's all about. Changing lives. We are going to, don't forget your baptismal certificates. That water was so cold. It was cold, wasn't it? The wind out there and stuff. But that'll make you remember it. Yeah, I've seen people break ice before to get baptized. So, ain't no wimps when it comes to getting baptized, right? Got to do, you know, the word baptized means to die. D-Y-E. And it's like you would dye a shirt or a piece of clothing material. In other words, when you dye something, you know, it's permanent. And so, you're marked with a mark that can't be erased when you're baptized. It's like, you're saying publicly, I'm following Jesus. And there's no turning back. I'm after him. And that's the whole idea. People would lose their jobs. People would be ostracized from their families. All kinds of things would happen in Jesus' day when they would be baptized. So baptism is a big thing. It's really a major confession that, hey, I'm following Christ. And that's what it's about. That's what we're after. Amen? All right. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and... We've been talking about authority, and everybody say authority. And we're looking at honoring authority. And this word authority, boy, it gets people just kind of act different when you start talking about authority sometimes, you know. they just kind of don't want to hear about it, you know. But we got to understand that authority is what the kingdom of God is all about. Kingdom of God is all about authority. And so when we understand that, it changes things. All right? Now, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. We thank you for your presence here today. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Open our hearts. Help us to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, to your people. And Lord, that we will never be the same because we have gathered here today in the name of Jesus, and we have gathered here to hear your word. Let us none of us be the same as we leave here today because we have been in your presence. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, now, we've been looking at this word honor and honoring authority. And so, let me do a little recap of where we're at. Honor, everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor is what? It means to esteem highly. It means to respect. It means to have a favorable regard. And it means to value. So when you honor somebody, you value them. You have a favorable regard for them. You have a high esteem and respect for them. So in 1 Peter 2:17, it says that we are to honor all people. How many people? All people. So honor is a derivative of your heart, and it comes out of the fear of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that word knowledge means knowing God. So the word fear there means honor and respect. So the honor and respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowing God, of knowing Him. So that's the idea. When we're honoring God and we're honoring people, it's a derivative of our relationship with God and the fear of God. Do you see that? When we don't honor people and we don't honor God, then it's a lack of the fear of God in our life. There is a lack of the fear of God in our society today. Are you with me? And you can just look around and see. Less than 4% of our generation today knows anything about the Bible. Knows anything. Back in the 60s, it was almost 70% of the generation knew something about the Bible and went to church on a regular basis. Look how far we've gotten away. Remember, we've got missionaries coming over to America to evangelize America, coming from Africa. I'm getting ready to go to India to do some evangelism. Well, they're talking about they need to come over here. You know, they're coming over here to evangelize because America's become a godless nation. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why we got to grow in some understanding of this honoring and this the fear of the Lord, because God is trying to establish His kingdom, right? His kingdom. Kingdom, dominion, D-O-M. That's where we get the word dominion. That word means authority. He's the king and authority. So wherever He is, He wants to rule. And that's what we need in our life, is His kingdom. Amen? Jesus said the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. And that's what we want ruling inside of us. We want Him ruling. And when we honor people and we honor God, that's His kingdom. See? That's honoring authority. And the kingdom of God is all about authority. And in Matthew 24, it talks about the love of God is growing cold because lawlessness is abounding. The word lawlessness means willful disobedience to the authority of God. So that's what's abounding. That's what's increasing in the latter days. People are disobeying God willfully and the authority of God willfully. He's talking to the church there. See, He's not talking to the world. He's talking to believers. People are willfully disobeying God and His authority. That's why the love of God is growing cold. Love is what's going to draw people into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is all about love and authority. When you really are walking in love, you're walking in authority. You see? That's why Jesus said, "Behold, I've given you authority." You, that's us, to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And by no means shall anything harm you. You see, when you're walking in love and true authority, you're not going to get your feelings hurt. You're not going to be always wounded and down and out and not wanting to go to church because such and such hurt you and this hurt you and this hurt my feelings. And you're not going to be always in an uproar in your marriage and in your relationship because you're always getting hurt. No, because you have authority. What people do to you no longer has that authority over you. And you can continue to honor them regardless of what they do to you. Come on now, am I making sense? That's authority. And see, that's love. That's love. See, this is not man's love, this is God's love. This is God's kingdom He's trying to establish here on the earth. And this is what it's in our hearts. Honor comes from your heart. It's not what you say and it's not what you do. It comes from your heart. Remember, Jesus said, "You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." In Isaiah 29:13. Your hearts are far from me. You see, He wants our hearts. If you truly honor somebody, you're going to do it in your thought life and you're going to do it inside of you. You're going to honor them. You're not going to stand there thinking negative about somebody and saying nice things to them in their face. See, there's no honor in that. And that's stopping you from receiving from God. You see that? That's why I wanted to make a point of this verse again. Honor your father and mother. Because I've counseled with so many people that have been hurt by their parents in their childhood, somewhere in their life. And they come in and said, "Well, you don't know what my father did to me. Or you don't know what my mother did to me. My mother left us when we were this and this." You know what, folks? It's not honor your father and mother when they're good believers and they're godly people. It's honor your father and mother because God says so. For this is a promise. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have long life. If it's not going well with you, you need to check to see if you've been truly honoring your parents. Are you with me? You need to check to see. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are. You need to keep honoring your parents. And that's why it says in 1 John 2:4, if you say you know him and you love him and you do not obey his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John 2:4. Check me out. So that's why it's so important that we understand that we obey this commandment. It's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may have long life. Folks, it has. When we don't honor our parents, and it's not based on how godly they are or how good believers, if they're non-believers. See, because I counsel people that have been sexually abused by their parents. Well, how do you honor that? Or they've been verbally abused. Or they've been, you know, beaten. Folks, listen to me. That's what we have to understand. This is the kingdom of God we're trying to establish. Now listen. Because if you've been sexually abused or physically abused or verbally abused by a parent, you need to take that to God. And through your relationship with God, He will bring healing and wholeness in your life. When you begin to understand what I'm saying today, you honor that parent, not what they did to you, but you do it because God says so. And when you do that, it's going to bring power into your life. And it's going to free you to be what God called and created you to be. Now think about this. If you keep rehearsing that in your mind, that's going to destroy your entire life. Every relationship will be tainted because of that act that happened how many years ago? Every relationship, your children, the people you work with, your husband, your wife, every relationship will be tainted and will have to deal with that problem in your life because you don't want to obey what God says here. He's talking to believers here. Am I making sense? Now, that's why we have to get God's idea on the thing. Think about this. The Bible is precept upon precept. The word precept means beforethought. It's a beforethought. These are the thoughts God had before you showed up on the planet about you. Beforethought. Now, when we get his precepts, that's what the Word of God is. In the beginning was the Word. That word, Word, means thoughts communicated. Thoughts communicated. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The word, Word, there means thoughts communicated. The Bible is God's thoughts communicated to you and I about you and I and about God's plan and purpose for our life. When we take those thoughts and they become ours, then they become concepts. They start as precepts here. Now they become our concepts. They're our thoughts. And when they become our concepts, now we're walking in peace and joy. Listen, that's why he says in Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and does not return there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. And walk in peace. It will not return to me void. It's going to come back to him fulfilled. What? Your life and the plan and purpose of God in your life. Get a hold of that. You see that? It won't return to him void. He sent it to bring healing into your life and wholeness. When you get it and you get that in your mind and in your heart, now you got his concepts, you're walking in peace and you're walking in joy. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now you're in the kingdom. What's going on? It doesn't matter what's going on out here or what people are doing to you. The kingdom of God is within you. He's ruling now in you. You see, now, but what happens when you rehearse that and you're always thinking about that? Who's ruling in your life then? Who's ruling in your life? The enemy. See, wouldn't that be his plan to get you while you're young so he can destroy your entire life? That is his plan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But you see, when you get God's word on it and you get his thoughts on it and you begin to walk in that, now you're in the kingdom. He's ruling in your life. You see that? You see why this is so important? We can't let what somebody did to us a year, 5 years, let that rob us from the plan and purpose of God. Jesus said this, anyone who looks back to the plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You see, that word look, it means to study. When you study your past, you're always rehearsing it. You're always looking back in the past. He says you're not even fit for the kingdom of God. That little word fit, F-I-T, means not qualified. You don't qualify for what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is he's talking about here now. So if you're not in the kingdom, who's ruling? Huh? Come on. Help me out. Am I making sense today? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but hey, we got to get this. When you get this, folks, it changes your life. You can't allow what somebody put on you years ago to keep you from the plan and purpose of God. It won't return void. It will return fulfilled. Oh, don't you like that? I like that. Because when I get God's word on it, I can stand on it. Just like John put the Bible down. You can stand on that thing. Are you with me? And you will make it no matter what comes your way. I'm here to tell you, folks. We're after the kingdom of God, right? Now, so, we're talking about authority, right? So, parents are in authority position. When you speak of authority out of the Bible, there's four categories. Civil authorities would be what? Government, the president, vice president, mayor, you know, the governor, policeman, that's civil authority. Social authorities, that would be teachers, coaches, bosses, employers, that's civil authorities. And then there's domestic authorities. That's what we're talking about today, is domestic authorities. Honoring authority, and domestic would be what's in the home. Your parents, and the man being the head of the wife, not being higher or being greater than, because they're equal, because there's no difference between the male and the female, but they're both equal, but God has established in his kingdom that the man is the head, spiritually. So what's in that home will be affected by that man and what he's doing. Are you with me? Now think about this. So we're looking, and then there's church authorities. The fourth one is church authorities. That would be the bishop, the elders, the deacons, and the pastors. So now think about this. If you have a dishonoring leader, one who's really, like the parent we were talking about before, that hurt somebody, or maybe a boss, it's just a dishonoring leader. Their vision is people as the vehicle to fulfill their vision. See, that's not a healthy leader. Here's a healthy leader. A healthy leader is one who sees his or her vision as the vehicle to serve the people. You see that? To serve the people. Did you hear that? See, that's the way, that's a healthy leader, a healthy vision. That's what, you know, people come up to, boy, John's pretty good preacher. You better watch John. You know what? I said, well, praise God. I want him to be better than me. Are you with me? I want him to be better and go way farther. And that's the way we are as parents, aren't we? We want our kids to do better than we ever did, right? See, that's a healthy leadership. You see that? And so when you have that, you're going to promote health, and people are going to be empowered by that. That's healthy when you live that way and when you're under that type of leadership. Now listen. 3 John, go with that real quick. 3 John. Excuse me. That's back right before the book of Jude. Back there where the pages are all stuck together. 3 John, And we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. There's only one chapter. Listen to what he says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You see that? Verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I'll tell you what. I get excited when I see people start to tap into the plan and purpose of God in their life. You know, and I hear people sharing what, you know, God's word is doing in their life and how it's helping them in their families and how it's helping them. I'll tell you what, I get excited. You see that? He says, I have no greater joy. That's a healthy... Jesus said this. He said, you shall do greater works than I. You see, that's the heart of God. You see that? And that's what we want. And folks, when we're under that and we honor that, it brings power into our life. But you know what? Even if that leader isn't, then you know what? You're still to honor them. And that still brings power in your life. You see that?
You don't see it.
I'm going to show it to you. Now, now we're going to look at, go with me to Psalms 127. Still looking at domestic authorities. Psalms 127. And verse 3. Are you all with me? All right. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now listen to this word, heritage. This is what heritage means. The status, conditions, or character acquired by being born into a particular family or social class. The status, conditions, this is what heritage means. The status, conditions, or character acquired by being born into a particular family or social class. Children are a heritage from where? They are the seed sent from God. He knew them before they were even into the mother's womb. Did you hear that? Isn't that exciting? And you have been given the responsibility to raise them up in the fear and admiration of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you what, that, and it says the fruit of their womb is a reward. I was on my way here yesterday, and Angie called me on my cell phone. And, you know, we gabbed all the way up here. And she was talking, you know what? You know, I say that she's 27 and still a virgin. And I like to talk about that. Because, you know, who taught her that? Her papa. And she's standing on that. Are you with me? And, you know, that's a reward that I can talk to her that way. You hear what I'm saying? That blesses me. And I hear things about my son and people and where he teaches and all the things going on. And, you know, people will call me and say things. It's like, that's a reward. Nobody has to tell him to take his family to the church. He teaches Bible study. He's doing his own thing. Has his own home group. He's doing his own. Nobody has that. That's because he was taught that in growing up. Are you with me today? There's a reward in seeing your kids following the Lord. Am I making sense? Man, I'll tell you what. And then the Zeta on top of all that? Oh, my goodness. Get me out of here. Shut up. Are you with me? Folks, when we do these things, I can't explain it. And you know what? If you didn't do that, hey, it's never too late. But I'm here to tell you, Honor your father and your mother. I'm going to tell you something. If things aren't going well with you, you need to check that out. You need to check what you're thinking about them. You may never see them. They may be 100 miles, 2,000 miles away. What you thinking about? That's robbing you. Who's it hurting? You. These promises are for your benefit. Your benefit. You see that? When you do what he says, it's going to benefit you. You get that? Now, okay. I'm going to give you an example. Remember Noah? In Genesis chapter 9, Noah built the ark, right? We built the Titanic. And it sunk, right? And you know, on the bottom of the Titanic, it said, someone wrote on the bottom of it, one of the builders, even God cannot sink the Titanic. That was written on the bottom. Gospel truth. It went at, first voyage, it went out, it went down. It said it was like one of the most magnificent vessels ever. Yeah, whatever, yeah. But you see, let me tell you something. Noah built his on listening to God's word, on what God said. There was no Bible. It wasn't out in the middle of a desert, build a boat. He kept listening to God. He honored God. You see, he honored God. And what he built, we all wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for him. But now get this. Here's Noah, a man of God. Did what God said. Now he's in a tent. Genesis chapter 9. Drunker and a monkey. Drunker and a monkey in the tent. Laying there, you know, naked as a jaybird. Ham goes in and sees his dad in there. He's all naked and drunk. And Ham comes out. Hey, you guys, dad's drunk in the tent. Naked as a jaybird, you know. Check me out. And the two other brothers get a cover, and they back up with this cover, and they put it over their father, and they cover him, and they walk out, and they don't say a word. They honored him. Was he wrong in being drunk? Yeah, that's wrong. But you know who was wrong? Who was more wrong? The son, by coming out and exposing his father in his weakness. Are you hearing this? Ham was his son. Ham was the leader of the Canaanites. They were all under a curse. They never prospered in the things of God. You never hear anything else about Ham. But you hear a lot more about the other two sons that honored their father in the tent. And they prospered and they did well because they honored their father. Am I making sense? This is big. This is big. Now, we're going to go to the other domestic authority. And one of them is the mother and father are the domestic authorities over the children. And the father is the spiritual head of the home. Okay? Now, go with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. One thing, whenever people are coming in and out, always go along the walls, if you would, because it's less disruptive. So whenever you come in and out of the sanctuary during the service, go up out the outer walls, if you would. I'm just sharing that with you, because it's kind of disruptive. And I'm not dogging anybody. I just want y'all to catch that, because it can throw me off. And I got to stay on train. Am I making sense? I'm not, you know. What you got? It's just it. You know, it's important. So just try to abide by that, if you would. Okay. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 33. Ephesians 5, 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. That's the man. And let the wife see that she respects her what? Husband. And that word respect means honor. And there's more verses on the wife honoring her husband. And we're going to talk about that. But now listen to this. I'm going to read that same verse to you from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible brings in the Hebrew and the Greek, and it's rightly dividing God's Word. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 5:33. Talking about domestic authorities and men as the leadership of the home. Now listen. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. See that? Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Did you get that? Jesse said, hallelujah. I'm telling on you, Jesse. Hey, you should say hallelujah. But now listen, did you catch that? This is the way God says to do it. This is God's wisdom. See, this is for your benefit. Who's it going to benefit? In this case, the wife. The wife will benefit. Her children will act better. Things will go better in the home when she just honors her husband. Am I making sense? And you don't do it because he's doing everything right. He's not picking up his socks. You don't know. Hey, still got to honor him. And when you do, it's going to go better in your life. You hearing this? This is for your benefit. Now watch this. You know what? This is the kingdom of God. This is not the world system. This is why divorce is so rapid. This is why there's so much, you can't build prisons fast enough, because they don't understand authority. And I'm going to tell you what, it's in the church. The church is full of it, not understanding authority. And the church, there's more divorce in the church than there is in the world. This is the reason. Because we don't understand authority. When we begin to understand it, and we operate in it, it's going to bring power and bless. It's for your protection. It's for your protection. You see this? It'll keep you out of a mental institution. When you understand this, folks, it protects your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now watch this. 1 Peter 3:1-2, Amplified Bible. Listen. You married women. Talking about the kingdom now. Well, I don't want to hear that today. He might be saying it, but I'm just not listening. Well, you better listen. If you want God's plan and purpose in your life, and you want what God has for you, it's time to listen. Am I making sense? It's time to listen. There's too much other stuff going on. You wonder why your children are acting the way they are? Right there's the reason. We need to start listening. Remember, if you respect someone, you're going to listen. If you listen, you communicate. If you communicate, you relate. If you relate, you become relational. If you're relational, you understand. All right. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Amplified Bible. Listen. You married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may obey and be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husbands, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. To respect, defer, to revere him, to honor him, to esteem him, appreciate him, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is to admire, praise, and be devoted to deeply love and enjoy your husband. You wonder why you don't enjoy your husband? It's a lack of honor. It's a lack of honor. It's a lack of the fear of God. You see that? Because if you, no matter, it's not based on how he's acting or what he looks like or what he's doing in the house. It's based on he's your husband and it's time to honor him. Am I making sense? I know this is heavy, but this is good stuff. We need this, don't we? You wouldn't believe what I hear. But all you have to do is look around, right? This works. This works. Don't tell me you're doing this and it doesn't work. It does work. Now watch this. I remember this woman reading this story years ago in the Guidepost. You know, some people just flat out are, they just rebel. You understand? I mean, they're just going to rebel anyways, right? Well, they're going to get what they want. It's the way it is. They're just going to rebel, no matter what that person's doing. Some folks just flat out rebel. Are you with me? Now, think about this. I read this story, and it was about honor, and it was about a woman that her husband, she wanted her husband to come to Christ. She wanted him to come to Christ, and she prayed for him, and she was in a Bible study, a Bible group, and they would meet on a weekly basis, and it was Christmas time. And for years, she had been praying that he would come to Christ. Well, one day, this group gave her the idea, you need to buy him a Bible and have his name put on it. Well, she goes out and gets a nice leather Bible and gets his name imprinted on it, and she's all excited and has it wrapped up real nice. And Christmas Eve night, she's all excited, and she can't wait till Christmas Day. So she comes downstairs, and he's sitting by the fire drinking a beer, and he sees her bringing this wrapped present down to, you know, Christmas Eve night. He gets all excited. So he opens this present up. He opens up this present, and he pulls out this Bible, and he looks at it. He says, what are you giving me this blankety-blank Bible for? And he throws it in the fire. He says, I don't want your Bible, and I don't want nothing to do with your Christianity. He throws it in the fire. And so she starts crying and goes upstairs. And so he goes and gets another beer, and he sits down, and he watches this Bible burn completely. And all the wood and all the logs up burn up while he's drinking more beers. And so he's getting ready to go to bed, and he thought, well, I need to make it safe to go to bed. So he made all the wood, all the coals are burning out, and the Bible's completely burned up. And he looks, and he's sweeping the ashes back into the fireplace. But he looks down at the corner of the fireplace, and there's a little piece of white paper with the edges burned around it. And it says 1 Peter 1:24 and 25. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. That's what it said on that little piece of paper. He got down on his knees and he repented of his sin and gave his heart to Christ. And they had a ministry together. And they went into ministry together. That's a true story. It's because she continued to honor him, even in his... You understand what I'm saying? You get that? See, when we honor people, it's not based on how they treat us or what they look like or what they're doing. It's coming out of our relationship with God. That's powerful. You cannot honor somebody apart from God. You see that? You can't do this in a religious way. You can't do this if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. This is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. Now I got, man, we're long today, aren't we? But you know, I got a word before you leave. So we're going to do this last song, and I'm going to give it to you anyways, even though we're a little bit longer today, but we need it, okay? So let's do this song, and I don't want anybody to leave if you don't have to until we get this last word. Amen? All right.